tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we are speaking with Adele Louise and Alex Ricard, who are with a Travel Animal Rescue and Saving Lives. Alex is just 26 and has already transformed TNR practices in multiple countries. Through her nonprofit, Saving Lives, she successfully sterilized 1,500 cats in Greece within 2 years while building sustainable community-based TNR programs. Her work with BAWA Bawa in Bali, projects across France, and current initiatives in Central and South America demonstrate her global impact. Adele brings technical expertise from facilitating TNR programs across at least 13 cities in 6 countries, having sterilized more than 1,500 plus community cats through supporting local groups. She founded her own nonprofit, Travel Animal Rescue, in 2021, and her work spans from Southeast Asia to Eastern Europe, where she revolutionized organizational policies and field operations. Together, Alex and Adele specialize in platforming effective strategies and practical advice that anyone can implement into their global TNR programs beyond borders. Alex, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Yay! I'm so happy to be here.
And Adele, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stacey. Thanks for having us.
So Adele, I've been connected with you now for a couple of years, and we've talked on and off again online. How did you become so passionate about cats?
Great question. I can barely even remember now. To be honest, I didn't start with a particular interest in felines. I started in rescue in general as someone who just liked all animals. I started in rescue in Vietnam and Cambodia, and I was at some all species rescue sanctuaries. And the situation with animals is different in every country, predominantly in Hoi An in Vietnam, where I was in the center. We were mostly faced with dogs, free-roaming dogs running around, suffering in many different ways. And a lot of rescue people would focus on just trying to bring them into a center, give them the best rest of their life. Cats were present, but much more elusive and less focus of conversation for like rabies-related reasons and things like that. But that experience, that intense deprivation of having resources in order to help all the animals that were around us, made me realize it can't just be rescue. It's got to be something else. And so when I left Vietnam after COVID, I went to the Balkans and Eastern Europe, and I learned more about spay and neuter. I spent the past 3 years in Greece, focusing completely on spay and neuter, practicing trapping, working with other groups and things like that. And it just happened to be felines are who are in front of me and who I can put in my little trap, which I can travel with. So it just kind of happened to work out that way. And here we are now.
And Alex, tell us your story about how you got to be so passionate about cats.
Yeah, so I think it has a similar story to Adele. It's because of Greece. So I always grew up with cats. I always had cats growing up. I loved them to death. Absolutely all of them were my soulmates growing up. And I just loved all animals because I became vegetarian, I think, when I was 7 years old. So always very passionate about all animals. But what turned me into running a TNR program for cats is my little kitty cat, Tsatsiki. I met her on a Greek island, and I found her and she was literally being eaten by a dog. So I found her in a dog's mouth, and she was just a tiny ball of fluff, and I saved her. She was really sick. She had a cleft palate. She had like everything wrong with her. And I just realized that rescuing is not enough. I was thinking about her, about her family, about all of her siblings. And I was like, I saved her, but what about the rest of them? And I think she's the reason why I started Saving Lives. I just didn't want anyone else to have to go through what she's been through. So yeah, I became passionate because of Tsatsiki, my little black kitty.
Wonderful, wonderful stories. You're both very young. You're new to the nonprofit space compared to me, who's been around for 30 years. You're both thinking very strategically about your efforts. sort of grounded in Greece, but also having a global perspective. And knowing you've attended some of our sessions and webinars, thinking strategically has become a bedrock of importance, I think, in the TNR movement. So Adele, as the head of a nonprofit organization, what is your strategy with regards to Community Cats?
Well, I think like most of us, I started off doing the one by one, taking a cat in a trap to a vet thing. It's just me running around, catching someone when I could, paying for it with my own money. And I think being in a situation where that's simply not enough, you know, you're going into these colonies, you are out on the street, you're in Athens is a very urban city, it's a very dense population, there's a lot of resource deprivation, there is simply just so much need. And it's easy to just stay with the emotional side of, I want to help that one individual, and that's enough. And it is great for that individual. But realizing that it is not going to be enough in order to address the problem in front of me that I am trying to address, which is preventing those individuals from ending up in that situation, it required me to think strategically. And I think being connected with the rescue and prevention and spay neuter community globally really helped inform that. I cannot encourage that enough to anybody involved in rescue, is to connect with others, and especially as a foreigner, learn from local groups who like trained me on trapping and everything, but also looking internationally to like the resources you guys provide, all the online training and access to resources, Neighborhood Cats as well, ICC, all these people who have been working on this for ages, who have the wisdom and are trying to pass it down. I think it's really important to tap into a combination of both of those if we want to be strategic. And if we are strategic, we are going to meet our goal of having a larger impact. So that's kind of how I came around to that approach.
And the global thought is so intriguing to me, because I think that so many of our solutions are very similar, and then there are differences based on the needs of the individual communities. But obviously, spaying and neutering cats is a critical component to our success in trap, neuter, return. You can't have TNR without that N in there, whatever that N looks like at a clinic, whether it's done by a technician or a veterinarian or, you know, however that looks, that N has to happen. That's a must have, I guess, in our basket of tricks, right? And that's global. So we should be able, with technology now, to be able to share far and wide best practices, hopeful practices, strategic goals, our dreams, our desires, our hopes. And you have created a podcast looking at that global TNR mission at a much larger scale, coming from the source, coming from stories from various different countries. Alex, can you share more about the podcast and how you started this podcast?
Yeah. So I think it started almost a year ago. I was talking with Adele, and we're having such amazing conversations about TNR and about just practices we're putting in place and how different it was just for the two of us when I was doing TNR in countryside of Greece and she was doing it in the city of Athens. And just that was already so different, our access to resources, our access to different vets. And we were like, this conversation is so interesting. It should actually be, how do you say it? Like
recorded.
Recorded. Yeah, that's the word. So it should be recorded. And so that's how the idea was born. We were like, well, we should have a podcast and we should have people from all around the world so we could all learn from each other. Because, you know, we've had some guests from India. We've had some guests from France. We had some guests from Greece. And even just guests from Europe, which, you know, France and Greece is really not that far. But the expertise we get from different vets is already so different. The resources we have access to are so different. And I was just in Mexico and we had two guests who are doing amazing work in Mexico. And just that, we learned that they start spaying and neutering animals, cats, I think when they're 2 pounds. But my vet in Greece would never do that. My vet is like, no, they need to be 6 months old. I will never sterilize them before that. And so just that, to learn why some people are able to sterilize them before, and maybe we can get the education needed to then educate our own vets. So because I think most people who get started in TNR, they don't have any vet education. I don't have any vet education. I'm just getting educated by what everybody else is doing. And so I think Saving the Streets, our podcast, is made for people to get the knowledge necessary to do right by the cats and the animals in general.
And I think also it gives you an ability to share information worldwide. So, you know, here in the States, the United Spay Alliance has a campaign called Feline Fix by Five. But it's not just in the States. I mean, Spay Japan also supports Feline Fix by Five. In Mexico, there's Spay Mexico. So, you know, Feline Fix by 5 months, which is supported by the AVMA and other national organizations, the Feline VMA also supports it. And so maybe that gives you some leverage, even though it is in the States, gives you some leverage to be able to bring it to other parts of the world. And I think we can also learn, there's been various studies done on TNR in Spain and in Israel and other countries that are valuable resources for us to bring back here into the United States. So the learning has no boundaries, right? The learning is present all around the world, and we can learn from each other on a global standpoint. But yet you're also very involved at a local level too, getting the work done, doing trapping projects, getting involved. Adele, do you want to share with me a little bit of information about the actual hands-on work that you have done in Greece?
So predominantly, because it is just me in Greece who had this mad idea to start a charity and get equipment and try to spay and neuter cats, it was really important for me to support existing groups who have been doing this for 20 years, rather than just coming in and being like, hello, I'm a white American, I'm going to contribute and it's going to be great. Like, there are incredible people doing huge work here. They have the local knowledge, and I didn't want to do my work in a vacuum. So I got as close to as many organizations as I could, involved with as many volunteers as I could, learned from them, and then also shared some of the things that I had been learning from abroad to make sure that it was beyond borders, this access to information and strategies and things that we could share together to ultimately improve everything for the cats who we are setting out to help. So particularly what I do is a combination of information sharing and optimizing procedures. So making sure people have access to information that could really help their organization and their day-to-day operations. And that could be establishing a nonprofit internationally. It could be fundraising. It could be, where are the different trap manufacturers that will ship to me in Greece, and what is the quality of their equipment? But it could also be lending equipment that I have brought from overseas, like equipment from Tomahawk and MDC and Metal Coat in the UK and Tomahawk from the United States, in order to facilitate the constant quality and volume improving of the work that we do here. So yeah, just trying to basically bridge those gaps. And then the rest of the work is very hands-on. It's going out and trapping with people, which requires a lot of balance, because once you put yourself out there, people are like, oh, here's the phone number of that person who has like donations and equipment to give you so that you can help all of these animals. And there is so much need. So it requires a lot of trying to stay focused on strategy of, okay, we need to clean my neighborhood. And I've identified these people who have the same approach and idea and have a good vet. And also this neighborhood, like, they have sterilized a lot of cats, but there's just a few of them left. So let's go and help them trap the last remaining difficult ones. It's always trying to make sure whatever I do logistically or physically, that I am up-leveling what the current groups here are doing.
Yeah, and you're being very strategic and trying to, I would even say, think like a funder. We've released a report this past year called the catreport.org, which is helping foundations think about how they are contributing to organizations, trying to think strategically, thinking up the stream, thinking rather than doing two cats over here, two cats over here, and two cats over here, you're going to do six cats in one place and identify a target area. And also, I think of the time and energy that you all spend out in the field. That's, you're giving. That's a donation. You are funding that project. So let's all think like a funder and really respect the fact that we're trying to be as efficient and effective as possible with our time, and understand that we value the time that it takes. So, If you're going to try and do a mass trapping project, you know, ensure that you have an ability to do some trap training there with the cats so that they're familiar with those traps. When I was at a conference this year, there was a 20 cat colony that had been trap trained for 2 weeks. So they were feeding only in the preset traps for 2 weeks. And they caught all 20 cats in 15 minutes because the caretakers had committed to doing that dedicated feeding and trapping, trap training ahead of time. And that made that trapping event extremely successful. They called the clinic up and they, after 15 minutes, they said, "We got everybody ready to take them in." Like, and they did not expect that to happen. It was in Tempe, Arizona, where they have a municipal community cat program. And so I think that something that's extremely helpful and valuable to us is to really pull forward the need for training our cats to be comfortable with a drop trap, with a regular box trap, set both up ahead of time, and it'll make that mass trapping a lot easier. Now, there are situations where that may not be possible because of the environment or where you are. But in those slam dunk locations, you know, use the tools that you have to be able to save time and to be more efficient.
It's estimated there are hundreds of thousands of cats living outside in New York City, over 500,000. And the wild thing? They've always been here, right underfoot. We just haven't been paying attention.
It is cats everywhere. I am very heartbroken.
Starts with one cat, and before you know it, is another one and another one, and then one is really sick. I started making phone calls. Can somebody come pick them up?
Rain, snow, shine. How they survive is beyond me.
Think about feeding 29 cats every morning. I couldn't afford to do that.
This isn't just a story about cats. It's about systems, about poverty, housing, burnout, and what happens when we're forced to build something better from the ground up. From Flatbush Cats, this is Underfoot, a new podcast uncovering New York City's cat crisis and how we can fix it together. Follow now wherever you listen.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next.
Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today.
Alex, I would love to ask you a question since you have some experience in France, and I'm not sure if you get a sense or an idea about other countries in Europe, but what is life like for community cats in Europe?
Not as good as we would want it to be. I went to Bali and I was like, oh, France is so much better with the community animals. We don't have any stray dogs. We don't have any stray cats. And then actually we do. I mean, we don't have any stray dogs. That's true. But community cats, we do have a lot of them, especially in the countryside. And I think that's what also I've realized, because that's what how it is in the US too. Like in those countryside farms, village, there's a lot of cats. And it was during COVID, I had to go back and live with my parents. And it's a very, very small town. There's only 200 people living in there. So yeah, very, very small. Lots of farmers, lots of cows, just lots of field and a few residential area in it. And I remember right across my house, there was like, I think 5 cats and they were all tuxedo cats. So they were all the same family. And kittens kept coming and it was during COVID. So like I was there, I think, for a year at my parents' and I kept seeing those cats. And at one point I went to the neighbors and I knocked on their door and I was like, hey, what is going on? Why are there so many kittens? Are you sterilizing the cats? And they were quite poor, and they were like, no, we don't sterilize the cats. We don't believe in sterilization. And if when there's too many kittens and we can't get them adopted, we just drown them. And I was like, this is 2020. This is France, and this is what's happening. And I think that really kind of shattered my view of things. And I was like, oh, wow, I thought we were doing better, but I guess we're not. And so I've tried to implement some TNR in my little town. I tried to talk to the mayor to get things moving, and they were not having it. They didn't want to fund any of it. They were just like, yeah, it's just community cats. Like, who care? So I had to fund all of it. Even the vets were not giving really any discounts for TNR. So yeah, I would say that France is not doing great with the community cats. I know more and more people are trying to get involved. We had Lila from Strasbourg in France, who is doing a lot with other charities trying to change that. But I think in the countryside, in many parts, vets are not even aware of TNR, which I don't think is okay in 2025 in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you make a really good point. And it's kind of at the core of our work with our nonprofits, but also the reason why we wanted to share this, start recording episodes of this podcast, is I think a lot of the global north have this comfortable idea because they're so far removed from what really happens in the countryside or in shelters or around them. They just don't see it. I grew up in America. I know the mindset that everything is fine with animals here. The UK so commonly says we're a nation of animal lovers, and they have one of the biggest farming communities in the world and have no idea what happens behind closed doors, have no idea that most of the dogs in the shelters of the biggest UK charities are all bred dogs who were abandoned, and, you know, the euthanasia rates in the US. So the situation is dire for animals in the entire world. It's not just the global south. It just looks different in the global south. And actually in the global south, Greece, across India, across to Vietnam, across the Philippines, across Mexico, all these places are doing absolutely profound things. Spay Panama and Spay Mexico and all these organizations are doing absolutely incredible things across these deprived communities, teaching, educating, providing access to good quality vet services and focusing on spay and neuter. And that those stories should be told, and we shouldn't have this glossy idea like, you know, You mentioned, Alex, that everything is fine because we're in Europe.
Well, and I mean, I think the big challenge that you just talked about is the misconception that everything is fine. And do we really know what fine is? Do we know how to identify and to count our community cats? And I think that's a very loaded question. I do think bringing forward and profiling the organizations around the world that are able to bring those cats out of the shadows and get them some access to spay neuter care. So Spay Panama, Pat Chan has been on the United We Spay podcast that we have through the United Spay Alliance, and trying to profile these country leaders who have brought different types of models for accessing spay neuter services in the region from an educational component. There's some incredible spay neuter education happening in Mexico out there for high quality, high volume spay neuter techniques. We're trying in the States to get high quality, high volume spay neuter techniques as the go-to for all veterinarians in practices, as well as having wet lab training in these techniques for private practice veterinarians, as well as for shelter veterinarians, so that we are increasing our speed, our efficiency, our safety, and being able to serve the needs of more cats in the community and having a comfort level around that. So if I go to my private practice veterinarian and I say, you know what, I got 10 cats in my backyard, what can you do to help me? Or what can we do together? The private practice veterinarian is going to say, I know exactly what to do here. We've got this group over here. We can do a trap bank loan. I've got the dust closet in the back that can be my holding area for the cats. You know, we can make this happen, rather than I have no clue what to do and it's going to cost you $500 a cat and you're on your own. That's the language we need to change. And I think with empowerment, with resources all around the world, you know, we'll be able to change that story. But we do get kind of mired down in this whole question of how many cats do we really need to? We're never going to be done. There's always going to be a maintenance level. And I kind of think we need to just jump into the deep end of the pool, and we have a little floaty, right? We're in the deep end and we've got our floaty. And we try and that is like our first colony that we've done. So that's the floaty we're holding on to. And then we get a bigger floaty because we're building out from around there. And so we're not gonna sink. We're gonna swim and we're gonna have a bigger floaty. And then we can invite more people to hang on our floaty in the deep end of the pool. And there we've got our movement and we'll be successful that way. I feel like that is a common dream that we all have as folks in this field. But yeah, we're very much alone and we feel alone. And I just think it's wonderful that Alex and Adele, you've created this community together through your podcast and helping to grow and build a movement at a global level. I wanted to just ask another question with regards to the podcast. You release the show weekly, is that correct?
Yeah, we do an episode a week, generally.
So if folks are interested in finding out more about how they could subscribe to this podcast, Alex, how would they do that?
Yes, so we are on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, all of them. And you can find more about it also on Pet Life Radio, where all of our information are on. And we also share the episodes on our social media, both of our social media. So Travel Animal Rescue and Saving Lives with Two A's.
And Adele, before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Alex, do you want to go first?
Yes, I would love to share with the listener because Adele and I are quite young. And I remember I've always wanted to help animals, but I never knew where to start. And when I started Saving Lives, I think I just realized you just need to start somewhere. And so I think I just kind of want to say to everybody who's listening to us, even if you are, you know, you want to help, you don't know what to do, you're like, well, I don't have a nonprofit, I don't have this, I don't have this. Just start somewhere. Start getting educated on what to do. Start getting educated on what are the first steps you can take. But take that first step. Taking that first step is going to change your life, but it's also going to change the lives of so many animals. And I am so happy I did it like 3 years ago when I sterilized my first cat. And I was like, wow, okay, I made such a big difference and now I can just keep going. So yeah, I kind of just want to say to everybody out there, just take that first step and yeah, you're going to change so many lives.
Yeah, definitely everything. And also to build on that, to take that step towards other people who have the generational knowledge, who have the local knowledge, who to inform like what has been working and what hasn't been working. You know, Alex and Amber have spayed and neutered over 1,500 cats in their area in the countryside just south of Athens. I've spayed and neutered around 1,500 with other groups. And none of that happened by us just one by one going out and catching each cat. It happened with first learning from really good quality practices from everyone in the world who helped us up level and be more strategic, but also trapping with other people, coordinating with other people, sharing information with other people. These people can drive, these people can trap. Also sharing how to do all these things with other people so that they can take it over. And that has helped us, I think, get to where we are now, to constantly be improving and growing what we're doing to be efficient and effective. I mean, Alex and I wouldn't even know each other if we hadn't met somebody else who is also working with cats and, you know, was in Greece and France, and she fought to bring us together. And then, you know, we introduce each other to other people and we're constantly working together and learning more. And this is only strengthening and improving our processes. So definitely connect with as many people as you can.
Excellent, Adele. Thank you. And I just want to also just put the word out there because I don't want anyone out there to feel like they're all alone in this work. And at the Community Cats podcast here, we pride ourselves. We answer emails, we answer calls, we answer texts. And while we're not a shelter, we are here to at least be a point of contact. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, well, depending on where I am, maybe that still works. You know, you can always listen to the podcast. That was the purpose of starting our podcast, and listen to Adele and Alex's podcast too. It's our gift. We're trying to give to you community. We want you to know that you're not alone and we're here as a resource. So just please don't be shy. I get questions all the time. And if I don't know the answer, it's okay. I'll try and find somebody who will know the answer. So, you know, please, please feel free to reach out to the Community Cats podcast. We're here to help you. We're here to support you. we certainly can't be in every place at all times, but we can be here to at least listen, provide feedback, just be your partner, be a nice person to listen to when times are tough and that kind of thing. So Adele and Alex, I want to thank you both for joining us today and for agreeing to be a guest on my show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future. And we are approaching the end of 2025. So I hope everybody's having a nice holiday season. Thank you so much.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.